get started into this afternoon's message here in just a moment. So, well, that was a big sandwich I had earlier, I tell you. That's good stuff. I hope you all got enough to eat downstairs and are filled with physical food, and I trust that God will help us this afternoon become filled up even more so with the spiritual food from His Word. Take your Bibles, if you would, this afternoon and open them to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, if you would, please. 1 Kings, and we're going to be looking in chapter number 13. Chapter 13 of 1 Kings. This really is one of my favorite accounts in reading through. It wasn't so long ago, if you're on schedule with the Bible reading schedule, that you've read through this particular portion. It is one of my favorite accounts. I have preached from this passage previously, but today I really kind of want to use this passage kind of as a springboard of sorts, I think, for this message that I have titled, Getting Directions. Oh, Getting Directions. All right. All of you drivers out there know that getting directions can be, it can be sometimes good, it can be sometimes a challenge, and sometimes we'll leave it alone. And so, getting directions, there's any number of ways, I suppose, to describe things. Wouldn't you say so? There's any number of ways to describe things. And I think that's never more apparent than when you have to get directions or when you have to give directions, for that matter. And I can tell you that there is a great difference between how my wife and I will either get or give directions, especially when it comes to driving somewhere that is not terribly familiar. And I tend to use, you know, things like, I don't know, road names and highway numbers, street names, the number of miles or hours it might take to get someplace, where she might use something more like experiences to reference different points, like, you go to, you know, that place where we saw that bad accident that one time? Or maybe she'll say, you know, that place where we had lunch. And I have to tell you, she's generally not wrong. But we think about things very differently sometimes. And things like that, you know, the description of things like that, I'll confess, they don't really help me. Because I had lunch here, and I had lunch there. And if it was a great lunch, I might remember it for a week or something. But if it wasn't such a great lunch, I might forget it before supper. I don't know. But, you know, it doesn't always help me. And she doesn't always take note of the street names or road names and things that I would. And so my directions for her are sometimes not very helpful either. Clark?
One I always like.
Indeed. You know where that barn used to be? Well, okay, it's not there, but turn there anyway. Yeah, right? But, you know, I know that we've also related some stories in the past about how times when we've taken a couple of vans to the couples retreats. Yeah. And, you know, there's some times when, Pastor and I will both bring our GPS units along. We'll program them. We'll know exactly where we've got to go. He'll even go so far sometimes as to print out the maps just in case, you know, something happens with the electronics. And there have been occasions when I've actually wondered why he even brought it along. Because sometimes, well, sometimes he'll just ignore it. I don't know what it said. I didn't even listen to it. Or sometimes he'll disregard it or argue with it. He's like, well, that can't be right. I'm going this way. Only to soon find out that maybe we would have been better listening. I don't know. It happens, and that's okay. And he would tell you the same thing. And so I don't feel like I'm tattling on him. But, you know, we've said those things in the past. But either way, you know, we've really kind of always managed to get where we're going. And sometimes we have a great story or two afterwards. And that's always fun, too. And to be honest, I have to give my wife credit, because to be honest, she has this uncanny knack for finding where she's going, and many times not even having been there. She just goes And she's like, well, I think it's this way, and she'll go that way. And then I think it's this way, and she'll go that way. And all of a sudden, there we are. And I'm like, I don't know how you did that. But praise God. You know, and it always reminds me, thinking about when you get to places where you've not been before. Just thinking about that thought kind of reminds me of, there's a passage in the book of Joshua. When God gave Joshua directions on following the Ark of the Covenant as they were going to cross Jordan and they were going to go into the Promised Land, God gave him the directions to on how to follow the Ark of the Covenant. And when God said, come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. You've not been this way before. So don't get too close, but stay back far enough that you can see exactly which way you need to go, and I'll show you. It simply highlights to me that as we continue in our Christian life, God's plans for us, you know, has anybody had the experience where God came down, tapped you on the shoulder and said, here's what I'm thinking about for you, what do you think? Doesn't generally happen. It hasn't happened for me. God's plans are right, and he doesn't need my approval. They're not something that he discusses with us, and as such, every day is, well, it's a little bit of a mystery to us as to what we're going to face. And so we would really do well to take our direction from the Lord, without disregard, without argument. Don't argue with God's positioning sensor or whatever that GPS acronym might want to be. Excuse me. And don't debate how efficient or how logical it might be where God would have you to go. So let's look at our text this morning, or this afternoon rather. It's 1 Kings chapter 13, starting in verse number 7. The Bible here reads, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Now remember that this is the man of God that came to cry out against Jeroboam because he had set up some altars in Dan and in Bethel. And these were not the altars that they were supposed to, but he was going to sacrifice to these. And so he cried out, and then of course the man of God, you know, as the man of God cried out, Jeroboam went to reach out his hand and say, lay hold on that man. And of course, you know that his hand became withered and he couldn't move his hand. Well, so the man of God prayed for him upon his request, and God healed him of that. So that's where we pick it up. And God said unto the man, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that you camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that that man of God had done in that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they also told to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen the way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. And so they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou that man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, this is the man of God said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink no water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, this is the old prophet now, he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Verse 19 says, so he, the man of God, went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come again, or shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy father. And then it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet to whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him in the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And so let's pray as we look to this message. Father in heaven, help us today to discern what you would have us to understand out of this message this afternoon. Lord, getting our direction and where we ought to get our direction and how we ought to get our direction. God, won't you meet with us, Lord, and help us to understand. And as we leave here today, Lord, may it change how we go about this week. Lord, may we use this week, even later on this day, Father, to prove your directions for us. And Father, you have given us direction. You've given it in your word. And Lord, if we would adhere to it, then Lord, the blessings that you have also proffered in your word will become ours as well, as a part of our obedience. And so God, help us today. Give us understanding. Open our hearts. Lord, may your will be accomplished. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first, direction from the Lord. The first point we see right away in our text is that we must take our direction straight from the Lord. Verse 7 through 9, once again, they read very quickly, "And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. The man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not." And so he says in verse 9, "For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest." Now we realize, of course, that oftentimes Old Testament prophets would get their instructions directly from the voice of God, whether that was through visions or sometimes audibly perceived interactions, or from an angel of the Lord being manifest. And so I wonder sometimes if we act like maybe we don't have as strong a conviction as we say we do, pointing to myself right here looking in the mirror, since we don't have that kind of experience anymore of hearing directly the voice of God. Though I do believe that we do still experience angels unawares from time to time. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 says so. It says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And so I do believe that God will still send angels our way, but I also believe that the personal interaction with the voice of God to give us direction in a certain matter is no longer necessary, as God has recorded all of his directions, everything we need right here. And so the prophets in the Old Testament did not have the complete written word of God, and so their experience was a little bit different. But God has preserved a very effective form of communication, even if we don't hear him audibly or don't have particular visions like they did in the Old Testament. God still communicates in more than one form. First, of course, is through our prayer time and being still before God, so that the Holy Spirit in us can open our remembrance and can open up our understanding of a scripture that we've read or heard that may apply to the very situation that we're praying about. Oftentimes, and maybe people will say, "Well, God spoke to me in a dream." Well, it might be, in fact, that either they're completely lying or that they have heard something in the past that speaks to a situation that they're in and they've recalled that. I can't tell you that they do or they don't, but I believe that God has suspended his personal verbal communication because he's written it and preserved it, and that is how God will speak to us, through the Holy Spirit of God speaking to our conscience. Now, second, we might experience from time to time a sudden burden, or maybe we'll experience a sense that there's someone that needs our prayers right now. Or maybe we cross paths with someone completely unexpectedly. It was completely unexpected that Brother Dave and his family would walk in here this morning And that was a wonderful interaction. We saw them, we missed them, we thought about them, we prayed for them, and here they were. And that's wonderful, and I trust that God will use that sudden, unexpected interaction to be a blessing for them, and certainly it was a blessing for us. So God may use that kind of an interaction for to be able to speak to us. All of these, I believe, are forms of God speaking to us that we ought to not ignore. Now let me ask you, if you come across someone you haven't seen in a long time and God's brought them across your path, have you ever thought that, boy, you know what? God just brought them across my path. I wonder why. Oh, maybe I should be praying for them more often. Oh, well, maybe, boy, those kids are growing up fast and maybe they need some prayer. And I can tell you from experience and I can tell you from recent events that I know that they have asked for certain specific prayers in recent time. And so seeing them today brings those things back to mind. You see, that's, I believe, God reminding us that he's still speaking, he's still trying to use us, and still wants to use us. Third, of course, is, as we mentioned, the preserved Word of God, through which God will, again, use the Holy Spirit in us to open up our understanding of an application of a particular verse, or perhaps a passage. The fourth way God can and will communicate is to use other Christians to help assure us of a particular direction that we should go in a situation or a decision. Now, may I ask you, have you ever had a pending decision that you have to make and you just didn't know what you should do, and you've gone and you've talked with another person of God that you trust and have discussed it with them and have talked about the possible ways to go? And God can use that then to help assure you that this is what God says. Maybe that's where you really ought to be going. God will do that, in fact. Now, here though, in that case, when we go and talk to another Christian about this, oh, I believe we have to be a little bit cautious. Now, why would I say that? Turn with me, if you would. Turn in your Bibles. We're going to use some various scripture today. Open to the book of Psalms and turn to Psalm 118, if you would please. Psalm 118. And this is speaking to the idea of just talking with other people about what we should do as a substitute, unfortunately, we do sometimes, for talking with God about what we should do. Psalm 118. And find your way, if you would, to Psalm 118 and verse number 8. The Bible here says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Verse 9 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." Now, I think sometimes we behave like this particular passage is maybe not as important for us to follow in certain situations because, you know, we know some really strong Christian believers and they've always given us good counsel and they've never let us down yet. So we're going to opt to go to that person before we spend a lot of time looking to the Lord. The truth is, if the counsel that they give is good, it is because, as a strong believer, that person has sought their own answers from the Lord. And if it might apply to you, then the good counsel is really counsel from the Lord that was given to them, and they have transferred it and offered it to you as well. But we must not presume that it will always be that way. Why? Well, if you've ever found an answer in Scripture that fits the circumstance that you're in, when someone comes and asks, or if it's the other way around, if someone else has found an answer in Scripture that fits the circumstance that they are in, and when we go and ask of that person, they may not, or we may not, fully understand all of the details surrounding that situation, and thus we give a flawed, incomplete counsel based on what we understood the situation to be. And it might not be quite accurate. It might not be quite what that person needs. It's better that we take the time to go to the Lord ourselves, even after getting counsel from others. Go to the Lord ourselves, because God understands so much better than even we do what our circumstances are. Isn't that true? Counsel from God will always be accurate and true, as it says in Hebrews chapter 6. Take a look over there with me very quickly, if you would. Hebrews chapter 6, looking at verses 17 through 20. The Bible says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil." That is talking about Christ. In verse 20 says, "Whither the forerunner is for us entered," even Jesus, "made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So Christ has already been where we're going. We know from Scripture that Christ has been tempted with all the same emotions and temptations and has faced all of the same things that we face in this life as the man walking on the earth, and has conquered every one of them. Christ, who is God, also was there when we were made before the foundation of the world, and knows exactly how we act and think and react. And therefore, if we've got something perplexing, we ought to go to the one that made us, that understands. Amen? Also, we have this word from God about this in Psalm 146. So, I'm going to turn back there. Psalm 146 says, as soon as I get there, in verse number 3 through verse number 6, Psalm 146, 3 through 6 says this: "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth." In other words, goes away from him. "His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever." So where would you rather go? Would you rather go to someone who might be here today and gone tomorrow? Or would you rather go to someone who is here forever and the truth is always the truth? So then, why did Jesus ordain the church using mortal men to lead the church? Well, that's an interesting question then. If God is the one that has the truth, why then did he use sinful but saved by grace mankind to lead the church? Well, the simple answer is because people are generally untrusting of the things that they cannot see or hear or experience for themselves. Wouldn't you find that to be true? I know that I would say, "Let me see it and I'll believe it." Or, "I don't know about that. I have never seen that. I've never heard about that. I've never experienced that." But if there's another person who can testify to its credibility, then, okay. We'll tend to believe someone that we can see and talk to and hear and share experiences with. Turn over to Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We're almost done here today. Titus chapter 1. Come on, where are you? 3rd, 2nd Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 1, and looking in verses 1 through 3. Paul writes here, he says, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times," here it is, "manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." And also 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So you see, God knows how we think and act and how we are. He knows we're going to be skeptical unless we can see someone else that has been through what we've been through that can tell us how it works to go to God with it. So the key to it is found in two parts. First, the preacher is only preaching the Word of God, that the word of God that has been inspired and preserved. And if so, the counsel, as I said a moment ago, is good and applies to your circumstance by God's grace. If that's so, then the counsel is from the Lord and not from the preacher. And God holds, by the way, that preacher accountable as his representative. So if he's going to give bad counsel, he's going to answer for that. Most certainly, and second part of that is that it is up to the recipient of that word to confirm, because we have a written word of God, it's up to us who receive that word through a preacher to confirm that the counsel is of God by checking in your own Bible what has been said in the recorded, or checking that it matches the word of God. So, honestly, we must be actively reading and studying our Bible, right? We must be. So the most important part of that is our Bible must be trustworthy. How many times have you heard, or maybe you've experienced it, that there are a whole bunch of debates and arguments and positions that people take on the versions of the Bible to use? Now, I'm not going to try to answer all those questions, but to say that if God cannot lie, and if God cannot change, why would one try to use a repeatedly changed Bible that so many of these quote and end quote modern translations are used as a source? If it's just going to be changed again to fit someone else's preferences in a few years, why would you use that? If God does not change, then use the unchanged Word of God. Amen. Lastly today, coming back to our text here in 1 Kings, look with me if you would, 1 Kings 13 once again, and looking at verses 18 through 24 very quickly once again. The Bible once again says, "And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And the angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back, and he did what he wasn't supposed to do. And it came to pass in verse 20, that as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back, and cried unto the man of God, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God. Verse 22 says, But he came back and has eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, for thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy fathers." You see, this man of God started out exactly right. He started out following the very word of God that he had gotten directly from God. But when he took the word of another man, who said that he was a prophet like he was, who said that the Lord also spoke to him, and except that the message contradicted the word from the Lord that the man of God had, when he took that word without checking with God first, and he followed it because, well, it sounded good, and he probably was hungry and thirsty, you know, his flesh got the better of him, there were immediate and definite consequences. And it's expressed best in verse 21, "For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee." You see, there may be many things in our life which may not have an explicit thou shalt or thou shalt not tied to them. But God has not left any area of our life unaddressed through at least one, if not several, principles in his preserved word. So when faced with such choices, our important charge, our duty, is to ensure that the choice that we make does not contradict any of the principles that God has clearly given us. And if there is any doubt or uneasiness about it, then it is best to wait. Continue to pray, continue to study the Word of God until God gives a clear understanding. So let's not be foolish, though. We cannot be foolish to think that if we have a burning desire for something, that God is going to give a pass to anyone that tries to tempt God with, "Well, God didn't prevent me, so it must be okay. Well, God didn't step in the way, so it must be fine for me to do this." Well, that's just tempting God. We cannot be foolish. It's a lie of Satan. And if we don't recognize it that way, frankly, we need to spend a whole lot more time in the presence of the holy and righteous God, searching for the answers, searching for the truth that is in His Word. Friends, where are we getting our direction from? Are we simply coming and getting it from the preacher and never checking for ourselves? Because it's easier that way sometimes. Well, I don't know where to find it. Well, keep studying. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Amen? Where are we getting our direction from? I hope you know your way home today. So that you don't need to get directions for that, at least. But friends, in this Christian life, and that's exactly what Pastor's been preaching for the whole successful Christian life series, is all about where are we getting our direction. So let's get our directions from the Lord today for every situation that we face. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for this day. God, this is a common and it's not a new message, Lord. We know that our direction ought to come from you, but Father, how often in practice do we actually make it so? And Lord, I'd ask that you would guide us today, this afternoon, as we leave this place, and as we traverse the path that you have laid out in front of us. Lord, we don't know where it's going to go, so we have not gone that way before. Oh, God, help us to really look to you for the guidance, to really look to you. Now, yes, Lord, you've given us intelligence, you've given us the ability to reason, and you've given us many things that we can decide upon based on what we've grown to know by experience. And yet, Lord, there's always going to be something that we need your guidance. There's going to be something. There's going to be a thought. There's going to be a reaction. There's going to be, Lord, a situation that sometimes we aren't so quick to bring to you. Forgive us for that, Lord, and help us today to recognize that in every situation, every day, every way, we must take our direction strictly and directly from you. Help us today as we leave this place. Now, we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.